everybody. Happy New Year. Happy 2016. Hope this one treats you well. Today we're going to let you check out the interview we got with Annie Palmer, Annie Adams, a couple weeks ago. You may know her from her fame as Evasive Flowers, the solo project, or Domestic Drone, where she does vocals for the band. Or you may have eaten something delicious that she made on a vegan Wednesday at our coffee house. They've always got live music, and usually Annie's the one cooking up the delicious vegan grub. We talked to her about everything from being a nascent musician to getting into all of that stuff. Of course, talked to her about food and veganism, and we even talked a little bit about ghosts. We actually went on a ghost hunt. So, check that out. But before we jump over to that, I want to remind you all that Jill Miller's Finishing School for Modern Women can be found at finishingschoolformodernwomen.com and under Finishing School for Modern Women on Facebook. She's got lots of courses going. And actually, if you check on Facebook, right now there's a little opportunity to win 2 free passes to a course. So check that out. We also want to give a shout out to Shelter Salon over on Commerce Street. If you need your hair cut, go get your hair cut there. Also, check out their website. They've got makeup tutorials and different kind of stuff on their blog. That's at ShelterSalonWichita.com. You know, they help out local endeavors, so we like to do the same. Also, if you are familiar with LMNO Pizza in Mount Hope, you might like to know that on January 9th, starting at 6 p.m., there is a big show going on. It's called the Carnarnarval, and there's going to be 5 carnival games and 5 bands playing from 6 to 11. Bands include Riverbirds, Americana, and False Flag. So check that out. You can just look at the LMNO Pizza Facebook page to figure out more stuff about that. Anyway, let's talk you to our talk with Annie. So, the digest is here.
We finally made it to you. I mean, once this is like a long time coming, isn't it?
I kept having to reschedule because I forget shit all the time. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we glad you didn't quit on us.
I was the one fucking it up.
Yeah.
What do you mean we were too?
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, I felt like there was one time where we did too.
Maybe once. But
even
for the
today,
most part, it was me.
It was kind of a scramble.
Yeah.
But for the uninformed, we have Miss Annie Palmer here with us.
Woo!
Right?
Well, Annie Palmer for Domestic Drone and Annie Adams for Evasive Flowers.
Okay. Are these both pseudonyms?
They're both my real names.
Okay.
I'm Annie Adams Palmer, but
okay.
Adams is my mom's last name.
Okay.
Palmer's my dad, so.
So Annie Palmer in Domestic Drone, and Annie Adams is Evasive Flowers, which is your solo project, which is your strange, like, pedal, not synth, but, like, I don't know, how would you describe Evasive Flowers?
It's an all-vocal loop and percussion-based solo project with lots of effects pedals.
Right on.
Yeah.
Who was it that chick from the Bumping Uglies compared to you to? Tune Yards.
Oh yeah, I still haven't listened to them.
Oh, I like them.
Yeah.
I'm such a dick.
She's real good too.
Or is Tune Yards a group?
Yeah, Mary Street Bee.
Is it just one person? No, it's like a group of people, right?
I don't know.
I thought Tune Yards was one chick.
I don't know. Let me look it up.
Yeah, I didn't.
In the interim, I'll ask this question. Evasive Flowers, and you use pedals. Any connection there or
no?
Thank you. There's more. There's more. There's always more.
It goes deeper. It goes deeper.
I'm all about the plays on words. So.
Good.
Wow.
So is Dan.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, I'm a wordplay guy.
That's beautiful.
So how long has Evasive Flowers been around?
Year is it? Where are we in space and time?
Just about 2016.
2 years.
2 years, okay. Right on. Was that time I saw you do a thing at Matt Clegg's birthday party? Was that like the first time or close to it that Evasive Flowers came out?
Was I sitting on the floor by myself?
Yes.
Yeah. I shouldn't have done that. That was a bad move.
Why?
Omsky talked me into that. I love him, but I just, yeah, I wasn't. I had some drinks for the first time in a long time, I think, and I just wasn't ready. I should not have performed that night. Well, yes, that was a vase of flowers.
Yeah. You know, you gotta practice though. And I've seen you around since. You've got your shit, like, I don't know, pointed, honed in, whatever.
I'm working on it, thank you.
And Domestic Drone was around before you joined up, but you've been with them like two and a half?
I mean, no, I've been with them for whatever, probably a year and a half. I actually could track that. It's like based on a profile picture on Facebook how long I've been with them. So ask me another question.
What's the life cycle of that band? How did that start and how did you get involved?
They started out, I mean, those guys have been playing together, sans Daniel and me, since 69 Noses with Katira Walton singing.
Yes.
Yeah, so they were like this badass punk rock band, and Dan joined for Domestic Drone, Katira left, I think I have the sequencing right, and they saw A Vase of Flowers and dug it, and Matthew asked me to come to practice and see if I wanted to sing on the new tracks. Little did I know they wanted me as their singer, which was totally cool when I got there. That took a while for me to get there. But yeah, I think I've been with them for like a year and a half, but I can tell you.
69 Noses is another band that has gathered around this microphone.
Yes, you can check them out on our ICT Fest.
Mm-hmm.
Episode.
Yeah, they just did a reunion show. It was amazing.
Yeah. Man, Katira's a character too.
She's high energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's incredible.
She was a lot of fun. She came to Barleycorns and tore the fuck up with us after ICT Fest.
She's a good girl.
She is. Mm-hmm. She actually stays in contact with Megan quite a bit. She's constantly pestering Megan for a video of her stand-up. And Megan's like, I feel bad. All I have is like shitty sets recorded from my iPhone.
Well, I've got a
DVD. It's like really nice. I know.
We went back to our old school days of record drunk, edit sober. We were wasted
shit
that interview. Yeah, I could barely keep it together.
That's okay.
Okay, so.
I wanted to just interject real quick. Toon Yards is a musical group.
Okay.
But it's like the project of this, a woman. They're from New England.
Oh, I love New England. That's where I'm from.
Meryl Garbus.
What's her name?
Meryl Garbus. Or Jarvis. It's G-A-R-B-U-S. So, yeah.
I really need to listen to
that. Says it's the music project of New England native Meryl Garbus. Or Jarvis. Sorry, I'm not trying to be stupid here.
Stop being such a gob.
And when performing live, she creates drum loops on the spot and layers these with ukulele and vocals, in addition to electric bass played by Nate Brenner. So, and there's a few members, like touring members, like a saxophonist and some vocals and percussion.
Okay.
Well, check it out. I have an answer too. I have been with Domestic Drone roughly since February 22nd, 2014.
Okay,
nice.
So
like,
coming up
months.
On 2 years.
Yeah. Coming up on 2 years here in a couple months.
Are you going to have an anniversary party?
We probably should. Yeah. Be adorable. We love excuses to party.
Big
so.
Valentine's Day party in February.
Yeah.
Yes.
So give us a brief history of time, the Annie playing music version.
Okay. I was having a really, really hard time. And Hugo and I had a loop pedal, and Hugo was never home. Like, our work schedules were just not aligned, and I was super depressed, so I started writing music, and, you know, I can't play any instruments, so I had this pedal, and I got the time down really quickly. It just kind of came naturally to me, and I've always been good with harmonies, so I just started. I mean, I'd always written melodies and written lyrics. I'd always written poetry. I've been writing poetry since I was 12. So, I don't know. Everything just finally came together when I was just, like, miserable enough to make it come to fruition.
Sure. So you're actually a pretty fresh musician then. You weren't like making music so much in like middle school and high school and
no, not at all.
Back into adolescence.
Hugo and I did some stuff probably 4 years ago or 5 years. Fuck, I don't know, something. Some odd years ago, under the name Evasive Flowers, it's actually on SoundCloud. That is like, it's not representative of what I do. He pretty much let the name go in exchange for the name Matter Undermined, actually, which was something that only he and I and Christopher knew about, and Christopher made it up, but he is dead. So one of us had to use that name because it's amazing.
Sure.
So I kept Evasive, and he has Matter Undermined. But yeah, that's some weird synthy stuff that he did, and some vocals. He did the mixing for the most part. He did all of the mixing, really. I added effects to my voice, but like there's a couple beats on there that I did, but really that's mostly him.
You're a Wichita native?
Yeah.
Really? What side of town?
Oh, east. I went to collegiate and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No shit.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Are we cheersing on collegiate?
I know, we can.
Sure. I mean, I still
shitty
have
middle
schools there. I mean,
mm-hmm.
the head of the middle school there, I assume she's still there. Bunny Hill was one of the most amazing people I ever knew. She is great. Did you know her?
Bunny Hill is a complete and total sweetheart.
Yeah. I gotta say, like, as hard as it was to be there and as frustrating as it was at times, like, I actually really loved my classmates because we grew up together. Like, I was there from 4th grade to 11th grade or something. And I went to independent for a minute. That was funny.
So what kind of music did you listen to in high school?
Oh, you know the good stuff. Nirvana, Nine Inch Nails, Tori Amos, Fiona Apple... I was real obsessed with Tool and A Perfect Circle. Followed them around, actually. Followed A Perfect Circle around.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Just a little bit, but just as much as I could to see their shows.
Just kind of in a semicircle, not all the way around.
Yeah, just...
Yeah. We made it to New Orleans one time.
That's awesome.
We didn't actually see them in New Orleans. We were too late. But we got backstage.
Even better.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
How old were you when you were doing that?
I want to say 15.
15.
How do you manage that at 15?
Yeah.
Oh, we might have been... I mean, I think my boyfriend was 16.
So he's the driver.
Yeah.
And you're like, let's just go.
Pretty much.
This is like summertime? Summertime?
Yeah.
Summertime!
Yeah. I mean, we did whatever we wanted. Like, we just figured out our parents couldn't stop us. That was what falling in love young did, I think, to me.
Yeah.
Realizing that if something is driving you to be with a person, no one can stop you.
Yeah.
So then we figured out that we could do whatever else we wanted.
I don't.
Do you still listen to all that music still, or
sure?
Just,
especially I've been on a real Nirvana and like Smashing Pumpkins kick lately. Like I can't get enough of that shit right now. But I listen to new music too. Like, God, sometimes for a while there, I had to force myself, but, like, I'm really, really into the new Grimes album right now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so weird and pop and just awesome, and I love how she does whatever she wants.
Had you never checked out Grimes before Megan and I came to your place that one night after Barleycorns, and we, like, huddled around your phone to watch that YouTube video of her?
Oh, no. No, I definitely listened to her.
Okay.
She was actually one of the first things. It was this interview that she did on KEXP.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you showed us. That's right, Megan had never.
Yeah, I had been, working with my vocal loop stuff, and then I saw her, and I was like, hey, this girl is doing stuff that is, you know, like, super fucking inspiring and...
Uh-huh. She's ripping amazing, you
and it's
off.
Really put. I was right. She was really. It was her stuff was really put together, and I'm still trying to get my stuff to that point. Not necessarily to where there's like synthesized beats or whatever, but I don't know the way that her stuff flows. I need more gear. Whatever, it'll happen.
Where does your inspiration come from? Like,
my life has been a series of heartbreaks. So, pretty much just fucking misery and pain and death and the ghosts that follow me around and shit. That's pretty much what I write about.
You know,
you're so awesome.
Happy stuff.
Is it a, like, if you can pinpoint, like, a musician, like, right now, like, influencing you, would it be Grimes? Like,
and St. Vincent.
And St. Vincent?
Yeah, absolutely. Those girls, I'm completely in love with them. I've also, I've been really into Bat for Lashes recently. She's been around for...
Oh, yeah.
Bat for Lashes.
Like the one name I know. Shit. I'm like, yeah. Bat and Tune Yards.
You better check out Grimes and St. Vincent then, girl.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Oh, my God. So fucking good.
I bet you I would like that shit.
What is the Bat for Lashes song that I love? Daniel?
Probably. That's a good one.
Daniel, on the moment.
Yep.
There's this one called Priscilla.
that's one of my favorites. Trophy's really good, too. Fur and Gold is a really good album, and I think all those songs are on Fur and Gold, actually. Daniel might not be. I don't know. I listen to YouTube, so it's all...
scattered.
So, I've seen Annie live, or Evasive Flowers live, but I would say you were super, super crazy awesome at the Art Aid show over at the Cotillion.
Thank you. And that was so much fun.
You looked like fucking a stunna and just so killer. And the thing that I was bummed about, though, is, like, you had, like, pre-recorded, like, your loop, you know, some of your loops of your voices. And I felt like none of those people that, like, I'm like, I just feel like they didn't. There's no way they could fully appreciate Evasive Flowers at that performance, even though you were killer as fuck, because it's, like, just so much fun to watch you build your voice over your voice over your voice. And, I don't know.
Well, here's the deal with that. No, I mean, I appreciate it, but yeah, I also,
I know it's,
like,
a big venue.
I really appreciate that opportunity. It's not so much that it was a big venue as the way that it was set up was... one act after another after another. Like, there was no time for setup and breakdown, et cetera, et cetera. Plus, I mean, to be fair, Cutter J, Aaron Wirtz, he runs that whole show, and he actually asked me if I would play Medicine Man and What I Saw, and I was like, fuck, I have no idea how to do What I Saw live anymore. Like, my amp I was using broke, and that's what had that effect on it, and, like, I could never get it right with my DD7, and I actually can almost do it now, but I was just like, I don't know if I could do that live, and he was like, what if I just talk to Kyle and get the stems for both those, and you just do it like that, and then we can split them up, and
what's the stems mean?
It means those pre-recorded loops, that's not my pre-recorded loops, like, from the pedal, that's, like, what I did when I recorded with Kyle. That's just from the album.
Okay.
Now I actually did do the vocals myself. Like, I am singing.
Right. Well, I could tell that.
It worked out but really well too, Jessica, because I was so sick that day. Like, and I was like, oh my God, I have to play the biggest venue I've ever played.
I know. And I'm not saying it's bad at all. I was saying I wish they all knew, like,
I would have.
That was your voice.
I would have fucked up that performance if I'd had to do all that shit, though. I'm sure.
But they should all see you live somewhere else.
They totally should.
Yeah.
I'm actually playing on the 12th at Barleycorn's.
Oh,
if this is out by then.
Oh, with,
myself.
December 12th.
I'm playing by myself, and it's an early show. It's from 6 to 9, so old people can come.
Yay!
Old people, if you're listening.
Then you can go.
The show's from 6 to 9. There's another great show later, which is why we got the early one, but Daniel Amity is playing. He's amazing. Jake Stanton is his friend from Kansas City. I actually am not familiar with his music. I couldn't find any links to his stuff, but then this band, 10 String Symphony. So, and they're really, really good too. And it's all like regional musicians except for me. So, you know.
What's your...
I mean, you're regional too. You're regional.
What the fuck do I mean? These people are from out of town. Right, I know. God damn it.
What's your favorite venue to play at in Wichita?
Oh God, it's so hard. Kirby's. I mean, just Kirby's forever. Kirby's, yeah. I love playing house shows because there's kids there. I just really love the crowd at Kirby's, and I love how many different acts come through there. I love Alex Thomas and everything that he does. I really like playing Barleycorns too.
Well, and the magical thing about Kirby's, I find all the time, is, you know, just by the nature of the way they book or whatever, uh-huh. you can have three completely different acts wind mm-hmm. up on the same night. You know, you
yeah.
can have, you can have like you can have a metal band play open for a solo country singer songwriter, and then followed up by like a punk act.
And the crowd is just with it.
And yeah. they do. People show up to see Brooke Blanch and they'll sit through Domestic Drone and be like, hell yeah. You know, like I would never, you know, things that they would never queue up on their Spotify or whatever, but they will sit there and they will get into it and they will drink their Pabst and they will get rowdy as shit.
That's exactly right. It's fabulous. Yeah. I love Kirby's.
It really is. Kirby's is kind of Wichita's magic little music spot.
It's America's mm-hmm. magic music
yeah,
spot.
Yeah, it is. I don't know how many years now they're riding that Playboy nomination or whatever, but when
they
like
won 2004,
yeah, they were once mentioned as like one of the top party bars.
You know what? Playboy's not going to be relevant in X amount of years.
Well, they got rid of all the nudity in their magazine,
so it's just like a GQ again, or
yep.
what?
What?
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Another GQ.
Hugh okay. Hefner said,
porn's I canceled my subscription yesterday.
Porn's too easy to find on the internet, so there's no use in printing it anymore.
But it was so classy the way they did it.
Yeah. It's going to be more like Maxim. There will still be a lot of sexy photos, I think.
Yeah, there will be.
But I think they wanted to get out from behind the blank plastic cover that you
it's
have
like
to keep
in front of them. It's like having a gas station. You don't actually make money from the gas. You like... need to get money from somewhere else, some other kind of revenue.
They do still have porn on their website. I don't ask me.
So you hear.
That. Yeah, so I hear.
Seems like a terrible marketing decision, but what do I know?
I know, well, right? They're probably going to, yeah.
I was going to say, Annie, I don't think you're the century's most successful pornographer, so...
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, so.
I have to ask, what are you drinking and chewing out of that mug? That
I
you're,
know,
you're
I want to ask that too.
It's iced coffee with coconut milk.
Okay, so you're chewing on the ice.
Uh-huh.
I thought you were like chewing on a carrot. You know, you
it is. Like that. It's a jar of tomato basil, like salsa or pasta sauce or something.
So what does the
I
label
do
say?
I have glasses. I've actually had people be like, baby, you're better than that. Why don't you drink out of a glass? But I like drinking out of jars. And yes, this was from Aldi. Organic tomato basil pasta sauce.
With iced coffee.
I love that story.
Boom.
It's really just a cup of iced
so
coffee.
So you're
point.
Vegan.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
Good segue here.
Yeah, well it is. Because like, I know where you work, you cook a lot of vegan food.
Every Wednesday, Vegan Wednesdays at our coffee house.
There you go.
Yeah, we start serving at 6:30. When is this coming out?
Next couple weeks. We'll get it up before the 12th.
Get it up before the 12th. Well, Mark Horton's playing the 9th, I think. Whatever the next... Not whatever the Wednesday is after this, which is what the... I don't know.
Whatever. When it's
Mark Horton's
Wednesday
playing night. Wednesday, probably. People who are listening to this.
Okay.
Right. He's great. Come eat food. I'll probably make pineapple curry. I want that.
I want that right now.
Tell me about your road to veganism. How's that happen?
Oh, I watched this film called Earthlings, and it talked about how horrible. I've been vegetarian since I was 9, but Earthlings just like showcases how absolutely horribly the animals are treated. not just in factory farming, but just like the general standard. It's so, so, so awful. I couldn't support it.
So, and this isn't like a gotcha question. This is honestly just a question because everybody has their different like moralities and moral lines and stuff. Let's say you had a house with a big backyard and you had a chicken that ran around happy as hell, like a chicken in someone's big backyard, and every day it pooped out an egg. Would you eat that egg?
Well, first of all, eggs really gross me out at this point.
Okay, sure.
And the standard for like an animal sanctuary is that because battery hens, egg laying hens, lose so much nutrients mm-hmm. from all the eggs they lay, because they're not supposed to lay right. any eggs, that the best thing to do is to feed those eggs back to them.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So you like crack it open and put it back in their little
food dish or whatever? I don't know how they do it, but probably something like that.
That's cannibalism. I oppose. So you were vegetarian since 9 and vegan since when?
It's been about 5 years now, I think.
And
6.
How does that make you feel inside, like as a person? I'm sure it must be very fulfilling to make a stand and...
You feel a lot better than most people?
I feel like I'm better than all of you.
Good, good. Not because she's a vegan, just because she's better than us.
Yeah, just because we're Wichita scumbags.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no.
What do you say to people that are like, but it's hard? Or I can do that.
I'm not really, I don't find that proselytizing to people really works very well. If people want to do research and figure stuff out for themselves, then they can. I like to make them food.
Yeah. Because
people think that vegan food is gross, and I make really, really delicious food. So I prefer to be an activist that way.
It's just using ingredients that might not be, like, common.
Well, and that's a thing.
And they're more common now than ever.
Yeah, I was going to say, but, like, they are.
That there's a lot of vegetarians who, like, they feel really shitty. And it's like, okay, well, what do you eat? Well, pasta and pasta and pasta and pasta. Or whatever.
Wait.
And it's like, you know, there's nothing, like, they eat almost nothing or whatever.
I'm
but,
just thinking about how much pasta I eat.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, if it doesn't make you feel like shit, then you're totally fine. But I mean, like, when I became vegetarian, at first I thought it was, like, really shitty and my food options were really limited.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I started to look into it, it turns out, like, the variety of what I ate actually far escaped what it was, you know, before when I was eating meat and stuff. No, I'm not a vegetarian anymore. I was for 3 or 4 years.
You're about
years.
To blow my mind right there. Like,
no.
You.
No, you've seen me eat hamburgers. But that's what I'm saying is, whereas before, it wouldn't be uncommon for me to eat maybe 3 hamburgers a week. And then post-vegetarianism, because I do get bored with just like spaghetti and sauce every night, you know, you figure out just thousands of different things to make and eat. And a lot of times it exposes people to, like, a lot more world food and stuff, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, I was really lucky, too. I grew up on Thai food and Indian food and Vietnamese food. I mean, yeah, I ate a lot of grilled cheeses for a long time, but that was definitely not, like, all I ate. I think I eat more pizza now as a vegan than I ever did before. In fact, I know I do because I have to make it myself, and it's like a whole fun thing that I do with friends.
Yeah, but your pizza's probably even more varied. I mean, Pat, yeah. What do you eat on pizza? Pepperoni. Mm. Every time.
Pineapple.
Whatever. We'll pretend. Okay. But I mean, people will order, you know, a pepperoni pizza every damn week, but every time you make a pizza, it's probably like, okay, am I going to do like... hummus, feta, spinach pizza, or am I going to do, like,
pesto.
Pineapple pesto?
There's a lot of variety,
you know,
with pizza.
Yeah.
That's why people fucking love pizza, among other things.
Mm-hmm.
Pizza's so good.
Pizza is good.
It's
the best.
Don't take such a huge stance on pizza.
I have a really strong stance on pizza. I love to make it.
Look, pizza.
I worked in a pub, actually, that had, like... We got 75-cent pints. This was in Portland. 75-cent pints of beer and just all pretty much all the pizza you could eat.
When did you live in Portland?
Oh, so long ago now. It makes me sad. I was 23 and I am 30.
So, like, when I was graduating high school.
Yeah. Yeah, baby.
So how long did you live in Portland for?
Oh, just a year. It was fun. It was really fun, but...
Why did you do that?
I think I gained... I'm pretty sure I gained, like, 80 pounds. Like, I'm still losing that weight right now.
Well, you know, you work somewhere...
Pizza and beer every night. Right.
So what drew you there and what brought you back?
Me one of those?
Yeah.
Say again?
What drew you there and what brought you back?
I was extremely lonely and sad, and I made friends with a boy. And thank you. We ended up going out there together. We actually made friends on the phone. He was a friend of my friend Travis, who was living with me. And he called my phone for Travis, and, you know, we were both drunk, and he was like, oh, all right, he's not there. What are you doing? And
wow.
It, like, became this whole thing. And then when he came to see me to visit, he was really cute. And I was like, you know what? I will move out to Portland with you. So I just pretty much packed a suitcase and got in the car and went with him. I was living at my mom's.
Bold move. That's pretty cool.
I mean, it was the right thing to do. We didn't work out, obviously. You know, relationship based off drinking. But, you know.
It happens all the time.
That's what your early 20s are for. You know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go back to him for anything.
So then... I'm gonna really put the sticks to you. We gotta ask the hard questions.
Okay.
Can you call yourself a real vegan when your dog's food has turkey and venison in it?
Yes.
Okay.
I would love to make my dog's vegan food. You actually can't make your cat's vegan.
Yeah, cats can't be because they need carnitine to, like, digest stuff and things like that.
We're all different. Yeah, we're all different.
And I imagine dogs are a little bit less well suited than people to veganism.
That's true, and I don't have the fucking time or the money to make them food. I get dog food from my mom, actually, who, like, I mean, she does everything she can for animals, so we're doing the best we can, and really, I mean, that's what being vegan is about. It's not about being a purist, it's about doing the best you can for the animals and the environment and whatever. Certainly not for my health. I mean, it's good for you and everything, but I don't care about that.
So, like, Vegan Wednesdays, do you get a lot of big turnout? Is it, like...
A lot of the time, yeah. I mean, of course the weather has an effect and stuff, but yeah,
but people know, like, do you advertise it? Like,
yeah, well, I advertise it on Facebook, and sometimes we put it in the paper. I think Angelo puts it in the paper sometimes. We always have live music. Yeah, I mean, it's always a really good time. Last week I made vegan mac and cheese, and it was really good.
That's awesome.
It was crazy good. Like, I was impressed, and I've made it a lot. But
do you ever think about, like, getting your own spot and just start doing vegan food? And
I really love the coffee house, and it affords me the outlet to do this without having to, you know, run a business, which is, I mean, it's so hard, and I really do want to be able to focus on my music. Right. Of course, I would love to have a little vegan coffee house bakery deli thing. That would be awesome, but I would want other people to do it for me.
That's my struggle.
Do the books and everything. Well, that's... You just focus on your music and the
and,
food.
You know, and make, yeah, I would want to make food, but... I wouldn't want to make food all the time.
And we've got a beautiful day cafe now.
Yeah, so you know, I still have yet to eat there. Yeah. You know Matthew, my drummer, the drummer for Domestic Drone, did the landscaping?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you've never eaten there.
Well, it's only open till 3, and I don't even get up till 2 most days. Yeah. It's just true. I'm on a different schedule.
You heard it here, folks. The whiskey keeps her away.
When you show up there, tell them you dropped their name on Midwest Digest. Maybe they'll hook you up with
some
PETA. Little free.
I was going to ask you, like, other than music, what other types of art do you do other than music? Like, do you paint? Do you draw? Do you performance art? I mean, I know, like, doing music.
I'm really not a performer at all. I mean, I perform because it's part of what you do as a musician to get heard, and I love being on stage. I do, but I mean, I'm definitely a shoe gazer. Like, I will stare at my feet. Sometimes I'll talk to the audience, but a lot of the time I just don't fucking feel like it. Like, I it's not even necessarily nerves. Like, I'll just, like, I just want to be up there and do it for me. Or, you know, do it for my band. Like, a lot of the time when I'm with Domestic Drone, Matthew talks to the crowd for me, or he'll, like, remind me what to say, because he's been doing it a lot longer, and he's just like, remember, tip your bartender. And I'm like, right. Right, I do care, I do. I just don't feel like talking right now.
I was going to go back to, like, your process of music and how you talk about heartbreak and misery and stuff. Do you feel like, I don't know, doing art, a lot of people focus on, like, not just being miserable, but just, like, being in this part of your life where if something happens, that's where my creative, you know, outlet, or it's, like, a creative outlet, but, like, do you feel like that's, like, if you weren't miserable, like, you would have the creativity? Does that make sense? It's, like, a lot of people that, like, I listen to, or, like, I talk to, like, artists and stuff, and they talk about how, oh, you know, when I was in this rut, like, I did all these paintings, or I did all these drawings, or I wrote all, you know, like, my books, or, you know, do you feel like misery has something to do with, like, your creative strength?
Well, really, who isn't miserable at one point or another? I told a boy recently that I was tired of being afraid of him breaking my heart, and that I would really prefer to go back to being afraid of murderers breaking into my house and ghosts and shit like that. You know, there's always going to be something that is scary enough in my life. Like, people are assholes, man. And so, like, I'm not real concerned about... I don't want to be miserable.
Yeah.
I would prefer to have... I don't want all my songs to be about fucking heartbreak either. Mm-hmm. You know, that's boring. I want to go back to writing about ghosts. I really do. But right now, that's not where I'm at.
And you talked about that, like, ghosts following you. Mm-hmm. Can you, like, elaborate, like, kind of, like, explain?
Are these metaphorical ghosts, or are they ghosts?
No, like, I really have, like, ghosts that fucking follow me around and move shit around in my house and bang around, and, you know, I mean, I don't know exactly what they are. I know that one's an angry, jealous dude, and I know that another is, like, a super evil old woman, like, Insidious-style shit.
No shit.
No shit. Yeah.
Are they dating?
No.
It's awful.
I don't believe they even
Do you see auras, too? Do you, like, see energy?
I mean, no.
How long have they been following you around?
Not really. Just I mean, occasionally, like, I
Is
see
that a
people...
weird question?
No. Sometimes I... Well, I mean, yeah, it's a fucking weird question, but there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, look what we're talking about.
Yeah, Jess.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look what we're talking about. Yeah. But, like, I mean, sometimes I see people and they, like, seem like they're glowing, but, like, I don't see you guys... right? I don't see you guys' auras right now, you know what I mean? Like,
well, that's because I haven't gotten laid in a week.
Yeah.
Aw, I'm sorry.
Okay, that might be not be a factual account. Stop. Okay.
When did all of this start happening? Like, when did you start noticing things getting moved, or
I've always been able to pick up on that stuff.
Like, since you're a kid?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, because you do Reiki these days, don't you? Did you
say
you were in a class and stuff?
Yes. God,
what is Reiki?
It's like it's healing through touch, and it's amazing. And I totally have not been practicing.
Not that that has anything really to do with ghosts, but
no, it
sort of all of this super physical goes into the same category.
Right? No, Reiki's super cool. I recommend everybody take a Reiki class. Like, there's a couple here in town. What are their names? I'm really ill prepared for this question. They're who my mom and I got it from, and I think we're actually going to, like, a Reiki share on Sunday, which is, like...
Like a
It's
swap.
Basically, like, some Jesus shit, you know? Like, you lay your hands on people and heal them, and it's totally something that you can do. Like, everyone has the power to do this, and we would have
can
less
they fix
sick
my back?
People.
I will go.
Yeah, I mean, they can
Does
totally
Does the earth
fix
really
your back.
Need to heal every... I mean, sorry... Can the earth handle it if we all live and are able to heal each other.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, isn't pestilence a little bit of like just a balancing act for the world?
Yeah,
don't we need
sickness
and death to keep ourselves
in
check?
We need natural disasters.
Okay, whoa.
For sure. To happen.
Yeah, to keep the gays out of New Orleans.
I mean, why do fires start, you know?
Sometimes
it's
weak.
Faulty wire.
Yeah.
Fire, you've got to destroy it so it can regrow. It's a thing, you guys. Didn't you ever take environmental science?
No, but this is... Okay, so do you have, like, a certain certification in Reiki?
Yeah, just level one right now. There's three levels, and I'll get there.
Is that like a yellow belt?
Yeah, actually. I think so.
Sort of.
It is like a yellow belt.
The yellow belt's level two.
Is it yellow belt or white belt that's the first one?
White is first.
White doesn't
cross.
White is
the
like
bar.
You didn't do shit. Though.
Yeah.
It's like,
show
it's like
up
a
day
yellow
one.
Belt.
No,
it's
yeah.
like a yellow belt
in Reiki.
To the black.
Yeah. White is signed up for the class.
I'm working, I'm working on getting to black belt, but what's a fucking middle one?
Like
is there like an
blue,
orange?
There's
green.
Blue, there's brown,
yeah.
green.
I've had a green one. I mean, the second one's higher than that, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was about to say, like,
probably blue.
If I can clumsily transition.
I mean.
from Reiki, you also... I seem to feel like you've told me about your dabblings in witchcraft a little bit as well.
Oh, man.
I don't know. I feel like I've been to your house
absolutely.
And you've had, like, some feathers in a paper sack and been like, oh, yeah, well, this is for...
Bring me some chicken bones.
This. Well, no. I mean, I don't know if we can explore this. I'd like to. It's very interesting.
There's no, like, voodoo shit happening. And I've always found that if you cast spells on people, then you wind up... I mean, like, I've only ever cast love spells on people. And then when you take them off, it's really fucking sad. Because they don't love you anymore. So I don't cast spells on people anymore, but I do... I mean, I believe that...
So you haven't magically induced all your audience members to just like you. That's not... You're not in the back of Kirby's before a domestic drama show.
Well, maybe I am, maybe I'm not. I mean, I'm not casting spells on people.
Okay.
But I am, I mean, I think that saying a prayer is the same thing as casting a spell.
Sure.
It's the same thing as making a wish on a star, which is actually extremely effective, I've found, because you're casting your intention so far outward. God, I sound so nuts. This is great.
When you wish upon a star.
Yes. Oh, well, yeah, I do cast spells, I do little rituals, and I make salt circles around my house, and
mm-hmm.
burn white candles, and I do all the things.
Who doesn't?
I mean, I do.
And
I put salt all over my driveway, but I'm not a wizard.
Yeah, I put salt on my steps, and I happen to have white candles.
How did you get
maybe
inundated?
Maybe I'm trying to go into the dark side.
Into
it's
all
the light
side. Yeah, it's
absolutely the light side.
How did you get into all this, you know, where did that start?
I think I was like 13, and I got a book on witchcraft, and it all made sense. But really, I mean, yeah, it was. I made a wish. I'm not going to tell you guys what the wish was, because it's fucked up.
Is it about JTT?
No, I wasn't into that. I was very much into, like, Nine Inch Nails when I was that age. But
the wish was, like, I wish his carrots tasted like a cheeseburger.
Because I'm a vegetarian.
Yeah.
That's good, yeah.
All
right. Right on. No, I made a wish, and it was totally unrealistic. And it was actually right after I had come back from this Vipassana meditation course, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, that was so good for me. But I was like really, really vibrating on a higher level, and I made this wish on a star. And it was totally unrealistic, and it totally happened in the next, like, I think it was the next day.
And we can't know what the wish was?
Absolutely not.
Can we at least know, was it benevolent or malicious?
Neither.
Okay.
We're not going to prod.
Yeah,
make a wish. It comes true. And the next day, you're browsing through the library at, like, you know...
You find a million fucking dollars. Annie, did you find a million fucking dollars?
And I spent it all.
Believe me,
yes. On witchcraft books.
That's how she got so good.
That seems like a good investment strategy, though. Considering, yeah. If I can wish for $1 million, maybe I learned something to this.
A million dildos?
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing
Jesus.
I'm just trying to think of all the things that she could have wished for.
If you...
bad jokes. Well,
I have seen your dildo closet. It is quite extensive.
Mine?
No, I'm kidding.
I don't have any.
I was gonna say, I hope you don't.
There's like a cucumber.
Wait a minute,
my
no closets or no dildos? Which one?
I have a couple closets.
Okay, just to make things clear. So, vegetarian by 9, witch by 13. What other weird things do we need to uncover here? Because, I mean, we're only at 13 here.
Well, ghosts at
what comes
age?
Next?
What? How old do you feel like you were when you feel like the ghosts are following you around?
3.
Where you know the ghosts and stuff. 3?
Mm-hmm. Come on. Yeah. Were they ghosts or imaginary friends? Which one was it?
Well,
they sound
they
fucking
weren't
scary
very friendly.
Shit.
They weren't very friendly.
This is no Drop Dead Fred here.
Right. Oh, I love that movie.
Me too, I own it.
So good.
It's so fucking
let's watch
good.
It. I haven't seen it in a long time.
Well, okay.
Let's
I have
watch
it at my
it
house.
Soon. Okay, we'll do that.
Yep, done. It's so good.
Drop Dead Fred Day.
Oh my god, I watched it the other night.
Has anybody else experienced the whole ghosts? Like your family? Brother, sister?
Yes. My ex... Well, it's so weird calling my ex. He's my best friend, but Hugo definitely experienced the ghost. He can back me up on this thing. My mom probably experienced them more than she likes to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
She just only wants good things for me, so she doesn't invest in any of that. Whereas I feel like...
Comfortable denial.
It's not even denial. It's not denial because she's not... She doesn't argue with me or say it's not happening. She's just like, oh, let's not...
Sure.
Let's not invest energy in any of that. Whatever.
Because you're, like, giving it more power.
Yeah.
Right.
And she's right. But, I mean, I'm not going to have these crazy experiences and not use them. I'm not going to not utilize this. I feel like my sensitivity is a gift as well as a curse.
So, what's the strangest experience you ever had with, like, a ghost or otherworldly spirit or what have you?
Let's see. I've been choked by dream demons.
Okay, see.
Like, almost suffocated. I
was expecting, like, some lights on and off, but this is already a lot more extreme than that.
I think the scariest thing is something that I don't remember. And I was really, really drunk. I was really drunk, to be fair, but Hugo put me to bed. It was after a party. I was still living at my mom's house. And Hugo put me to bed, and he said there was no way that I had had time to. But I was like, he had just put me to bed and walked out, and suddenly I was in the hallway, and I was screaming at him. And it was in a voice that wasn't mine. And he just yelled, like, you gotta get the fuck out of here. Get away. Go to bed. Fuck off. And I guess I did.
So, like, potentially even a temporary possession, sort of.
I mean, I'm sure it was. The reason that the Hare Krishnas don't drink is because they believe that it gives people it's more likely for them to be possessed by ghosts.
Right, kind of pulls
your
the
mental,
shroud back
yeah.
a little bit.
You said the Hare Krishnas? Is that
Hare
what you just said?
Hare Krishnas.
Oh, Hare Krishnas.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Okay.
No,
but
that's,
I was like, what?
It's all...
Yeah, but that makes sense.
But I mean, I guess it does... I mean, it would stand to reason if somebody is going to be quickly and violently possessed... then it's probably the girl who's already sensitive to this kind of stuff. And then when you stack on top of that, you know, a little bit of liquor and a little bit of that, like, blurring of the lines.
Exactly.
Man, that's freaky. I've had, like, closet doors creak open, and I thought that shit was scary.
Just the word dream demons is freaking me the fuck out. I'm like, I didn't even know there were dream demons. I don't want to go to sleep tonight.
Before this interview, we were going to do it in my basement, but Jessica's like, no. Like, because, like, the dog, one of the dogs didn't want to go in the corner.
I did say that.
Yeah, you did.
I said, I don't like the basement. I don't trust the basement. I think there's a ghost in the basement.
Yeah, that's exactly true.
I think her basement's fine.
No, I don't.
There's usually a ghost in the basement.
You feel trapped.
It's underneath if us.
There's not a ghost in my basement. But
it's the spot underneath us.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Or it's that. I don't... it's this area.
I don't feel anything.
It's that area. It's under Jackson's room. But
okay.
Other than that, just because a dog didn't go into a corner.
No, listen, it's
like,
not
that
just...
That doesn't justify... I'm sorry. I've lived in this house for 3 years.
Yeah. Jessica, Annie was curious.
Jessica just had the wrong strand of weed that day.
No,
and was just like, oh my
true.
God.
You fucker.
You guys... All right.
Let's not be mean to Jessica. I feel bad. I should have just lied.
No, don't lie.
That would have been great for ratings.
Yeah.
It would have been.
There.
No, watch in a second. It's going to be like, here I am, motherfucker.
Yeah. Right? We hear all this fucking crashing and shit downstairs now. That was fucked up. She said I wasn't here.
Like, drums.
Yeah, just like a
you're
nice
so
drum
awesome.
Breakdown.
Yeah, she's like, you're a weakling.
Right?
The ghost is so strong it can't even.
There's no ghost, Jess.
There might be a ghost. I just didn't feel it.
Oh, God.
All right. All right, Annie. We're coming up on an hour.
I know.
But
usually
we wrap these up on a sort of a personal mission statement or a personal mantra or something.
Yeah, man, I've been really into this vegan thing lately, actually, and I'm not about proselytizing, but read the World Peace Diet and go fucking vegan for the planet and for yourselves and for all the little baby animals. And I love you all. I'm dark as shit, but I love you all.
Woo!
Annie.
Thank you, Annie.
Thank you.
Wait.
Thank you.
Digest that.
Digest that.
Alrighty, there it is. That was great. Thank you, Annie. Thank you, Domestic Drone, for letting us play your song. Remember to check out Evasive Flowers or Domestic Drone whenever you can. Check out Vegan Wednesdays at our coffee house and get live music there. Remember, again, also, check out finishingschoolformodernwomen.com and check out ShelterSalonWichita.com. Go get yourself a cut and color down there or go to the finishing school and learn how to be a modern lady. Remember to check out Elemental Pizza's Facebook for information on the Carnarvon and get out to Mount Hope and see that on the 9th. And check back here, as always. Have a wonderful week. Have a great week.